Thanks, Garrett. Happy Father's Day to all you dads and the spiritual dads too. You know, at our church, we can give a clap. At our church, you know, we like to recognize those who are the men in our church who really carry a heart of the Father's heart, but then, you know, they don't have biological children, but we recognize them as having that role of spiritual fathers in our church. And so, happy Father's Day to all you dads and the spiritual fathers out there. There's a woman in our church, a gal in our church named Sanjo. Some of you know Sanjo. So Sanjo is a senior woman. She's a widow, and she recently bought a house kind of nearby. And she only has one daughter, and her daughter's family live in England. In fact, that's where she is right now. She's in England visiting with them. But, but she had a big task of moving to her new place. So there's been several small groups. I think the youth have helped, Sia, some of the small groups, some of the men's small groups, helped her move and helped her settle into her place. And so thank you for those of you that participated in that. And I just want to say, especially if you're a widow, if you're a single woman, if you're a senior, and you need help just moving or around the house or chores or different things, we have groups and we have men's groups that would love to help. And so in a short time, we're going to start having an information table outside, registration table. So if that's you, all you have to do is talk to them and they'll connect you. Or you could email the church office, and we'd love to help. So just want to put that out. But with Sanjo, one of our men's groups, fairly recently, they went out to help her move furniture and kind of settle in. And they had a bunch of guys, so then they finished pretty quickly. So they asked her if there's anything else that she needed done. And she said, well, I do have in the backyard this big catio. I did not know what a catio is. Do you know what a catio is? Catio is a cat patio. And this thing is big. It's wooden, and it looks like a big, like, bird aviary or something. It's all enclosed as it's wooden, it's chicken wire. So they asked her, she asked them if they could tear it down for her. And so once the men heard tear down something, right, they went at it. In fact, I heard Don, the drummer, Don was a beast, right? Because he's in construction. And then some of the guys were like pulling the nails out. He goes, no, just do it like, he's like ripping things down, right? And it was funny because I heard from Damon. Damon was there. I heard when he saw Sanjo's face, he didn't know if she was happy or frightened, because her face was I talked to her, and she said she was just in awe of seeing men kind of doing their man thing. She was just, and you know, she's just so grateful. She is so grateful for the help and the support. But you know, God designed men and women differently. And so, right, she got to see part of that manly thing come out, and she said she was in awe. You know, generally, I believe God designed men and fathers to fulfill certain roles here on earth. And today, being Father's Day, I'm going to focus on two of those roles. And to focus on the two roles, I'm going to look at one Bible passage in particular. It's Zephaniah 3:17. If we could show the verse. It says this, the Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Now, this verse describes God in two primary ways. One, mighty warrior. He says, God as a mighty warrior. But second, it describes God, which I call loving father. So in this one verse in Zephaniah 3:17, it kind of pictures these two characteristics of God, being a mighty warrior and being a loving father. And I believe God designed and called man to reflect, among other things, these two characteristics of God. And so let's look at the first, mighty warrior. As I thought about God and men as mighty warriors, four characteristics came to mind. Four roles came to mind. The first is protector. Protector. Proverbs 14:26. Whoever fears the Lord has a secure fortress. So specifically, I believe this verse is addressing men. Whatever men fear the Lord, they have built, they have are providing a secure fortress. And then it says, and for their children, it will be a refuge. What is this verse talking about? Men, fathers being protectors, being protectors. You know, in John 8, the religious leaders, they brought before Jesus a woman caught in adultery. And they were trying to trap Jesus. They were trying to trap Jesus. But Jesus, he didn't condemn the woman, but used his incredible wisdom to turn the religious leaders away. He protected her. He protected her. Part of God's design for men and fathers is to protect others. You know, one of the highest grossing movies, and it's a little old now, but one of the highest grossing movies, I think it's fourth highest grossing movies of all time, is Titanic. Titanic is one of the high. I remember when it came out, there was this craze, this Titanic craze. Everyone was talking about Titanic. But I want to ask you a question. Why do you think this movie about a ship that catastrophically hits an iceberg and sinks with many people dying, why is that? Why was that so popular of a movie? Well, I have my theories. One of my theories is that I think, especially for women, it's so romantic. So romantic, the relationship between Jack and Rose, right? Romantic, right? Romantic movie, right? But for men, it's a horror movie. For men, it is a horror movie. Just think about it. Think about all the guys, or most of the guys in that movie. What happens to them? They all die. You have this scene with this poor guy. He jumps, he falls from the ship, and he bangs into the propeller and to his death. Actually, they call him the propeller guy, right? And then you have these four schmucks, these poor guys playing the violin while the ship's going down, right? And then you have the hero, Jack, the hero, the very end. He's in the water holding Rose's hand, clinging to her hand, and he dies. He's dead. While Rose floats off to safety. What's up with that? What's up with that? Well, what's up with that is women and children first. Women and children first. The men go down with the ship. Why? Because God has called and designed men to protect, to protect. Now, some people see protectors like this. William Wallace. If you've been in my church for any, if you've been at our church for any length of time, you know this is one of my favorite movies. I loved this movie. I love this William Wallace character. In fact, you know, at my previous church, we had this men's rally, and we had all the men paint their faces. Oh, Ray shaking his. We had all the men paint their faces blue, and we were doing these warrior cries and trying to stir up, right, God's spiritual warrior in us, and we did this whole thing, right? But, right, warrior. But, you know, warriors could come in all different shapes, sizes, and I think this guy right here is a warrior. Sanjay. Sanjay is one. You know why Sanjay is a warrior? He started on his own this organization called Crip Justice, where that organization, right, Sanjay, your organization advocates for the rights of the disabled. Protector. All different types of protectors. But God has called men to be protectors. That's his design for men. Secondly, God calls men to be providers. Providers. Look at this verse, 1 Timothy 5:8. But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. That's how high the calling is. That's how important the calling is, God's calling for men to be providers. In Genesis 22, Abraham calls God Jehovah Jireh, right? God the provider. That's when he's going to sacrifice Isaac. He's just about to kill him, and the angel stops him, and then the God provides a ram who's caught in a bush. God the provider. In Matthew 14, Jesus feeds the 5,000, demonstrating the heart of God, the call on men to be providers. Now, providing could look a lot of different ways. I don't believe it necessarily means being the breadwinner. But God calls men to reflect here on earth being a provider for their family and the people around them. He designed men to provide. Third, God calls men to be preparers. Preparers. And so by preparers, I mean train. Train their children. Train and raise up others to coach spiritually and in life. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the, look at this, this discipline and instruction of the Lord. What is that? Trainers. They prepare their children to prepare others for life and for relationship with God. You know, Jesus, when he was here on earth, he sent out the 72 disciples to prepare cities for his arrival. They were to preach, they were to heal the sick, and they were to declare the arrival of the kingdom of God in the person of Jesus. What was he doing? He was preparing them. He was training them so they could carry on the ministry God had called them to when he died, resurrected, and ascended back to the Father. He was preparing them. I want to show you this video clip. I thought this was a great video clip of kind of a sensei raising, training up and using a father to train up the father's son in the ways of being a man designed to prepare. So let's look at this video.
Push up position, get on top of your father.
You're a lot heavier than you were at 9 years old, but he still has to push you now because you're not doing your part.
Zeus!
So he's doing good, not right, Kev?
Yes, sir.
How long do you think a father can keep doing it with all his responsibilities? Let's put life in this picture. He works, married. You're making his life a lot harder because he worried about you because you're acting silly in school getting suspended. Keep going, Kev. Try to fight through it. This is what he does for you. But he can only do so much.
It's crushing your father. The way you can help, live up to your potential. When I say Zeus, your father's going to push up, but you already know he's weak. you're gonna have to push up at the same time to help him.
Zeus!
See how you helping?
Zeus! Zeus!
Down.
Guys, I don't think there's a better video on social media right now that depicts the interconnection between a father and a son. And it's amazing the journey that you go through, right? Those first couple of years, your son looks at you as their hero, right? Then they start getting into those teenage years and are like, ah, they're starting to question you as a dad, right? You don't know everything. I'm a kid. I know it all, right? And then you start having those battles, you know, through the teenage years into the early 20s, right? And then it's amazing how it comes full circle. You know, my relationship with my dad, I love every minute of it, and I'm just blessed to have him in his 80s, right? But what a fantastic video to share with your son. What a fantastic video to watch together and talk about together in terms of just your interactions, how one, you know, if things can, you know, aren't on a positive, or if there's constant conflict, how that can impact both a father and a son in such a dramatic way. But man, I tell you what, shout out to this man for just demonstrating something so easy and so, you know, easy to comprehend for this young man and for a lot of young men that are out there. I love this.
You know, I think when you watch something like that, it resonates, it touches something deep inside. Because we all know, that's God's calling. That's God's design for men to prepare, to train, to raise up, to equip, not only for this life, but especially for their spiritual life, their life with God. So men are called to protect, to provide, to prepare, and I had a hard time coming up with a fourth P, so bear with me, but I put primary prayer, to be the primary prayer. And what I'm talking about here is spiritual, take spiritual initiative, spiritually lead their family. Joshua 24:15. But if, this is Joshua talking with all of the Israelites. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. That day, Joshua took a stand not only for himself, but he was taking a stand for his family. He was speaking on behalf and for his family. He said, I've made a choice. This is our family, and what we do in my household is we serve and honor the Lord, period. We will worship God, Yahweh, the only true God. We will serve him. We will honor the Lord. Men, dads, what do you say? What do you say? Are you ready to take that responsibility to step into that calling? Even if you're a single guy, a young guy, you could start doing that now. You could protect others. You could help provide for others. You could help prepare others. You could take spiritual initiative to encourage the younger ones. What do you choose? Do you choose to step into God's design and God's call for men? You know, exercising spiritual initiative and leadership for you and your family, that's one of the most important things you can do as a man, as a son of God. To say, not only I, but we will do this. We will be about the Lord. And one thing I think you can do to demonstrate this is just one thing, among many other things, but one thing you can do is pray for your kids every day. And I'm not just talking about praying in your private, alone, interceding for them. I'm talking about praying with them. When you're physically present with them. You know, people have asked me over the years, well, what advice would you give as a dad, etc.? What have you done? And I said, well, I'm not perfect, but I think the one thing that I did do was, as best as I could, pray with my kids every day. Even when their friends would come over and they're young and their friends would come over for sleepovers, I would pray, like my two daughters, right? They would have a bed next to each other, and sometimes their friend would be in the middle. I'd pray for Mindy, and I put my hand on the friend, and I pray for Megan. I just include them. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be long. But for me, I feel like every day, praying with them, praying over them. That's one thing you could do to take the spiritual initiative and lead in your home. God, the mighty warrior. Men designed to reflect him by protecting, by providing, by preparing, and to being the primary prayers in their home. But that's just half of the, right? That's just half of the Zephaniah 3:17. There's a second part to the Zephaniah verse. It's God being a loving father. Listen to what it says. It says, he will take, this is God, the mighty warrior. He will take delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. It's like, the picture I get is God the Father saying, shh, comforting. Shh, it'll be okay. Quiet you with his love. And then this, he will rejoice over you with singing. I don't know if you've ever thought of that. This verse says, God, the mighty warrior, is also the loving father who sings over you. God, the Father, sings over you and rejoices over you. This describes the loving, kind, gentle, patient, tender aspects of God. Quiets you with his love and sings over you. Now, men, dads, God designed and called us to exhibit this aspect of him as well. And maybe even more so. Maybe even more so. And I know for some of you, when you think of sing over my kids, sing over people, awkward, challenging, seems contrary to the mighty warrior. But that's why it's included, because God wants us to reflect both mighty warrior, loving father. For this aspect, for this whole section on loving father, God singing over us, the father's heart, I've asked someone to come and share his testimony. And to me, it's perfect because this guy, he's like a guy's guy. I've known him for probably 30 years, right? Probably 30 years, and he's like a guy's guy. So for him to share his experience, his testimony of how God, I mean, it's just, I was like, wow, how God's been moving in his life. I thought, this is perfect. And right when he shared with me the story, I thought, oh, he's got to share on Father's Day, because I knew I was going to speak on this. So I'm going to call up Ray Yoshinaga. And he's going to share with us what the Lord's been doing.
Good morning. Happy Father's Day. Testimony starts off over 20 years ago, and we're at Spiritus Baptist Church. And it was after Fuego, and we were sitting and just talking, a bunch of sorts in a circle, and just talking. And out of the blue, Pastor Barry looks at me and he says, "Ray, there's more in you." And I look at him like, "More of what?" And so he goes, "No, yeah, more in you that needs to come out." And so I go, "Well, what is that you want me to bring out?" He goes, "No, there's more in you." That's all he says. And so growing up, you know, in the hood in L.A., I interpreted it as him saying, "Dude, you need to man up." And I'm going, "Man, is Barry dissing me? What is going on? Is homie gonna diss me like that?" I go, this skinny pastor from Sacramento is dissing me. I go, "Oh my gosh." And so I'm trying to stay calm and not be all upset, right? And he goes, "Yeah, you have more in you." And I'm sitting there going, "Well, what's going on here? Why is he keep saying this?" And he doesn't say what more is. Well, as I was thinking about Barry, and I said, "Well, that's not the way he is. I know he's meant something else." And for some of you that might not know what dissing is, dissing means it's a slang word that means disrespect. So he was, you know, I felt like he was disrespecting me. And those are fighting words in the hood. Just like, "You ain't gonna be dissing me, dude. Homie, you ain't doing that." So back over 20 years ago, recently I just found out that Barry wanted to start a healing ministry, a healing service. And so he, for years, he was looking around and trying to find somebody to partner with, start a healing service. And fast forward to probably last year, was able to team up with Dean Fujishima and Carrie and Hannah. And, you know, we started the healing service in February, but in January they wanted to get a team together to be able to pray for other, you know, for the healing for other people. And so in January they had the first training session, and it was a Friday night and Saturday morning session. And after Friday night, Hannah comes up to me and she says, "I have a word for you and I want to pray for you." I said, "Oh, okay, that's nice." So the words that she got was, "God's going to open a new season for you." And then she prayed that God would start unfolding this year, my life and the things that's going to happen. In March, after our Fuego Santo meeting, we're locking up, and out of the blue, Barry looks at me, and this is just like a few months ago. "Ray, you have more in you." And I'm like, this is like deja vu. And I feel like, you know, I'm living, it's like back to the future, right? Living in the past. It's like, what's going on? And I'm sitting there going, after 2 decades, he's saying the same thing. What is wrong? And I go, what's wrong with me? It's like, is he pushing the wrong, I'm pushing his wrong buttons for him or something? And he's just saying the same thing. So I go home and I'm kind of frustrated. I'm like, "Lord, what's going on? I don't understand." And so I start praying. I said, "Lord, tell me what's going on." And after a few seconds, Lord said, remember what happened in elementary school, the incident that happened. And it's one of those things that kind of I pushed aside for decades. It was hard to even think about it when the Lord brought it up. Fast forward to, we started the healing ministry in February, and it's been really good. God's been really showing up. And then in March, after Mary shared that, I just kind of stuffed it away. I kind of put it back up on the shelf, and I didn't want to deal with it. I didn't know how to deal with it. So come last month, after Fuego, I was going up to Bob Aizawa, because sometimes we go out to breakfast. And so I was going to go up to him and ask him if he wanted to go to breakfast. And then Barry was walking up, and he was asking Bob about having dinner on a Thursday. This is Saturday, Thursday night, and Peter Hahn was going to be in town, and Fujishima was going to be, you know, they stay at Bob and Nancy's house. And so I waited for them to finish their discussion, and then I was going to ask them about going to breakfast. Barry all of a sudden looks at me and goes, oh, would you like to go to dinner on Thursday? And most of you that know me, I never, ever, 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 ever decline food. Never. Unless it's a salad bar, never. So I'm trying to stay calm, right, because I'm all going, yeah, get to eat dinner. This is great, you know. So this is Thursday, and I go, okay, and Barry goes, oh, okay, I'll text you and let you know where we're going. And so I go, okay. So on Tuesday morning, early morning, it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and God's been doing this for years. If he wants my attention, or he wants me to, you know, for instructions or correction, a lot of times he'll wake me up between 1 a.m. and 4 a.m. And when he wakes me up, I know that he wants my attention somehow. And so 3 o'clock in the morning on Tuesday, God says, I want you to look for two songs. I said, okay. You know. And he says, the first song is Household of Faith. And the second song is I Will Be Here. And I said, God, this is wedding songs. And I go, you know, I thought it was going to be like worship. Well, it's kind of like worship song, but it's for weddings. And I go, God, there's no weddings coming up anytime soon. And I'm not going to play at any weddings anytime soon. So why? And there was silence. He didn't say anything. So later that morning, I woke up and I did my quiet times. And I said, well, I'm going to go find those songs. So it was hard to find because I haven't played those songs in a long time. So I find it, and he says, just play it. So I played it, and that was it. I go, okay, I don't know what that has to do with anything, but okay, I played it, just to be obedient. On Thursday, Barry texted me, and we were going to go to this restaurant called Katsumura. I had to ask him this morning, what was that place? Katsu something. Katsumura. And so we meet there at 5 o'clock, and we ordered the dinner. And during the dinner, Bob was talking about a ministry time that Dean and Carrie was doing at their house, because they were staying at Bob and Nancy's house. And all of a sudden, Bob says, hey, you know, when they were doing ministry, I became little Bobby. They go through like little Bobby, teenage Bob, and then adult Bob. So during the little Bobby part, my voice changed and everything. And at first I go, man, his voice is kind of high. I wonder what it sounded like. Little Bobby, he goes, hey, whatever. I'm like, oh, okay, whatever. But as soon as he said little Bobby, that memory came back, what happened in elementary school. And so Dean was sitting right next to me. So I asked Dean, can things happen like way later, like decades and decades later, that still affects you today? He goes, it depends on, you know, what, how tragic it was or the thing that happened. So he asked me, well, what would happen, you know, back then? And this is what happened. It was in the fifth grade, and the teacher wrote a test or something. She wrote something on the board. And we were all doing our work, and we were writing the answers down. And the rows are just, it's like four or five rows of chairs lined up. And teacher starts walking down one aisle and then turns around and goes down the other aisle. Well, the teacher came down the right side. I'm writing. I could see her go by me. And she gets to the end, turns around, starts coming down on the left side. And she grabs my hair, yanks it back, and she says, "You're gonna be a nobody. You'll be nothing. You're gonna be amount to nothing." And I was like in shock. I didn't know what to do. And I could see the kids around me. Their eyes were like wide open. The mouths were wide open, and they were in shock. I was just in shock. And that's all she said. She let go of my hair. She went to the desk and sat down. From that moment on, I lost all interest in school. I had no hope. I didn't really care about anything after that. In the 11th grade, I thought about committing suicide because I couldn't take it anymore. And so after I explain all these things to Dean, he says, well, go home and pray and let the Lord take you back. And I've done enough prayer ministry where I've taken other people through that, you know, being a child and taking them through those tragic times. So I said, okay, I could do that. So after dinner, we go outside, and somebody says, oh, let's go eat dessert. And we go to this place called Frostbites, and oh man, this place is so good. I mean, I was beaming. I was like so happy. And so we get our dessert, and Dean is standing right next to me. I'm sitting down, and he's standing next to me. And then he says, this pastor or this evangelist came to mind, and the same thing happened to him, and God got a hold of him, and you know, he was really able to do great things around the world. And I said, oh, that's kind of cool. Somebody, you know, had the same experience. And so Carrie, his wife, was standing against the wall, and there was a table, and Dean was standing on the other side of the table. And then all of a sudden, Dean looks at Carrie and goes, oh, you know, we should pray for him, which means me. And so the thing that I almost started cracking up, I was looking at Carrie, and all you ladies have this look, this non-verbal look that says, mm-mm, we ain't gonna do that. And so Dean was looking at her, and I'm looking at her face, and I go, oh, this isn't gonna happen. So there was an awkward pause, and Dean looks at me and goes, oh, just go home and pray and just let me know what happened. And I said, oh, okay, I guess I'm not going to get prayed for by them because they had their plate full already with all kind of stuff. So, and I already knew that. So I go, okay. So I go home. This was on Thursday night, yeah. So Friday morning, 1:30 in the morning, same thing. God wakes me up, and he says, "Oh, okay, let's do this." I said, "Okay, okay, usually when the Lord wants me to do something, I usually get out of bed and I usually go to the living room, and then, you know, if there's instructions or something that he wants me to do, then I spend time with him in the living room. But this time I thought, oh, I'll just sit up in bed. Since I'm already in bed, I'll just do it silently and just, you know. And I said, okay, Lord, take me back to that time. And then all of a sudden I heard these voices saying, no, no, we're not going there. We're not going there. We're not. And I go, oh, my gosh, it's the enemy. You know, they don't want me to pray. And so after a few minutes, I got to get up. I can't just sit in the bed anymore. So I go to the living room, and as I'm praying, I rebuke the enemy, and basically I just ask the Lord to take me back, and I renounce all the words that were spoken, the curses, anything that was spoken over me. And then God says, I want you to pick up those songs, those wedding songs. And I thought that was kind of weird. So I start reading it, you know, it's 1:30, 1:45 in the morning. So I'm just reading the words, and I go through Household of Faith, and I would be here. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that have to do with anything, Lord? And he says, well, and I kept saying, it's a wedding song. These are wedding songs. What am I doing with the wedding songs? And then I said, well, and then the verse about a man leaves his father and mother, and it's going to be united with his wife, and they become one flesh. And I kept thinking, what is this? I don't understand. This is about a man and a wife, a man and a woman getting married. And so I'm looking at it, and he goes, well, I want you to read it again. So I read it again. And as I'm reading the Household of Faith, it was like I hear the Lord singing over me, the words. And as he was singing, it was like a slideshow. And the slideshow was the time that teacher did what she did in fifth grade all the way till I accepted the Lord a little bit after high school at the Delalmo Mall. And so, and then the music changed and it was started singing Household of Faith. I was reading those words. And that was from the time I accepted Christ and all the peaks and valleys that life gives you as you're a Christian and walk, trying to do the best you can. Being a follower of Christ. All this time, as he was singing over me, it really hit me because I never had a real close relationship with my earthly dad. He was there physically, but that was it. It was almost like a stranger in my house. I didn't really know him. He didn't, you know, didn't share anything. And so when I accepted Christ, I felt like, God, you have to be my father. You have to teach me. You have to show me. And along the way, a lot of you guys here from church and from the past, I want to just say thank you for being almost like a friend and a father to me, to teach me different things. Because I didn't really have a dad to show me. And I thought that was part of the reason Barry thought that I didn't have, to kind of man up. So as the Lord was singing over me, I just sense a peace and a calm. And then I went back to sleep. And the next morning I woke up and God gave me a picture. Actually gave me two pictures. One was a picture of a vase, a big, like a pot. It was like kind of round and it was all broken. And it was a picture of my life and how broken pieces were put together by the Lord. And then I saw a few pieces laying on the ground, and I saw him pick up those pieces and put it back on top. And then I heard the word complete, you're complete. Then God showed me a picture of Hannah and her face. And her face was like thousands of pieces put together. And there was a bunch of pieces left. And it was like almost triple the pieces that was part on my face. And there was pieces that were ground up so much that it was like dust. And I saw the Lord say, I could do all things. And so he picked up a little bit of the dust and he made a whole piece and he put it in on the pot. And there's nothing that God can't do with God. Anything's possible with God. As I was thinking about those songs, one thing that God really placed them on my heart was, I know those were wedding songs. And as it was singing over me, I kept thinking, this is kind of strange because, you know, God the Father and I'm a man. How does that work? And then God said, I am the bridegroom, you are the bride. And so the church is a bride and he's a bridegroom. And one day we'll be together. And it'll be closer than any human marriage. We'll be one with him in spirit. I want to transition to a kind of a sort of ministry time. So I want you to just close your eyes. And I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to have the Lord minister to you. Lord, we ask for your Holy Spirit to increase right now. Father, we want to say Happy Father's Day to you. That you created each one of us, your sons, your daughters. And Father, I know that you want to make us whole. So I pray, Lord, right now that your hand would be upon us. Lord, you give me a picture of the guys here. And sometimes we put up walls because we're not really sure what a spiritual father is. Because the world says we should be tough and strong, show no weakness, be the mighty warrior all the time, 24/7. But Lord, you don't want us to be that way. So Lord, I ask right now, by your Holy Spirit, that you exchange the heart of stone to heart of flesh. That as sons and daughters, that you would allow your spirit to move in a special way, that you break down the walls, that you change hearts, that we could be a people after your heart. Father, I give you thanks and praise for who you are. You're a great God, Lord. And just keep your eyes closed. And
Zephaniah 3:17. The Lord your God is with you, the mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the sun does not appear, I will be here. If in the dark we lose sight of love, hold my hand and have no fear. I will be here. I will be here when you feel like being quiet, when you need to speak your mind. I will listen and I will be here. The laughter turns to crying through the winning, losing, and trying. We'll be together, 'cause I will be here. Tomorrow morning, if you wake up and the future is unclear, I will be here. Sure as seasons are made for change, our lifetimes are made for years. I will be here. I will be here. You can cry it on my shoulder. When the mirror tells us we're older, I will hold you and I will be here to watch you grow in beauty and tell you all the things you are to me, 'cause I will be here. I will be true to the promise I have made to you and to the one who gave you to me. Sure as seasons are made for change, our lifetimes are made for years. I will be here, we'll be together. I will be here. God bless.
That's the more I've been talking about. Thank you, Ray. Thank you for sharing your heart and your journey. And let's just have the worship team come up. Men, dads, that God has designed you, purpose in mind. Very special role you play. And the Lord wants you to step and wants us to step into that. And so just an encouragement, challenge to you, just as we close and sing some worship, I want you to think about what's one thing the Lord's asking you to step into as a mighty warrior. Is it in some way to be a protector to the people around you? Some way to be a provider? Some way to help train and be a preparer? Or some way to lead spiritually by being the primary prayer in your home? So that's one thing. And then what's one way the Lord's calling you to show the heart of the Father to those around you? Okay, so I just encourage you to pray on that. And as we sing, we're going to close. And we're going to honor our Heavenly Father today. We're going to close and just worship the Lord. Honor Him. And connect with Him. Receive from Him. Whatever you need from Him as a mighty warrior, and whatever your heart desires and needs from Him as a loving Father. Okay. So Lord, thanks. We just want to come now, and You are the Father of fathers. You're the ultimate Father. Even for us to be able to call You our Father, we're just scratching the surface of what that privilege is and what that means. But Lord, we thank You. We can call You our Father. You're all those things and more for us. And so, Lord, we as Your children, Your sons and daughters, we want to honor You on Father's Day, God. We want to honor and worship You. Thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.